To most of the world, the Bible is just a history book or a book of practical wisdom, but it's far more than those things. The Bible is God's Word. Here on Timeless Truths Radio Ministry, we believe that the Bible is more than just a bestseller, but it's powerful and life-changing. The Bible has the answers to your important questions and can teach us about the things that are visible and invisible. This is why we are excited to share God's timeless truths with you. We are glad that you have joined us this Sunday morning for our program. And our prayer, as always, is that you would allow God's Word to direct your life. Here is Pastor Burns.
It's a difficult place. Well, you know what? God has put you there to be a preacher, to be a light in a dark and perverse world. And so we're talking about not just a preacher behind the pulpit, but a preacher in a workplace and a preacher in your family. There's grandkids and children that need a gospel witness. And so the Lord has called you to be a preacher. How will they hear except there be a preacher? A co-worker needs a gospel witness. And so listen, the reality is we are all preachers. We all have an obligation to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle Paul says here, we owe a debt. And all of us today, we owe a debt to those who helped us, that came alongside of us. And not only that, we owe a debt to the gospel of Jesus Christ that changed our life. Let me say this. I hope you know Christ today. I hope that you are saved. I hope that you've put your trust in Jesus and Jesus alone, that you're a part of the family of God. Number two, let's think about this in our text, number 15, verse number 15, Romans chapter 1. Not only is he a debtor, but also Paul says, I am ready, verse number 15. The Bible says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. He says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. I am a debtor both to the wise and to the unwise. The barbarians were the non-Greeks of the day. And he says, listen, no matter who you are, Paul says, I am a debtor to preach the gospel. And I am, this is the expression, I am ready to preach the gospel. You see, Paul wasn't just resigned to go. Paul was ready to go. Now that word there, ready, is a powerful word. It carries the idea of being eager to do God's will. The idea of chomping at the bit speaks of a racehorse who's ready to get out of that chute and to start that race. And that really describes the Apostle Paul in this passage of Scripture when he says, I am ready to preach the gospel. The idea is that he was chomping at the bit. He was ready. He was excited. He was passionate to start to preach the gospel in Rome. He was ready, the Bible says. Paul was totally committed. He was totally committed. He was passionate. In fact, let's look at what the Bible says in verse 15. Maybe you missed it. Let me remind you. He says, as much as in me is. As much as in me is. The idea here is with all of my heart and with all of my soul, I am passionate. I am excited. I am ready to preach the gospel to you. I am committed. Let me ask you this question. Does this describe your passion for the Lord Jesus? Occasionally, I'll watch a sports show or a sport on television, and there are many to choose from. I watched a little bit of the Raptors. I'm not a basketball fan, but I kind of jumped on the bandwagon, and I'll watch a hockey game. And when you watch sporting events, sometimes what they'll do is they'll pan into the audience and they'll show the fans. And some of these fans, I mean, they are very passionate for their team. They're very passionate for the sport. And some individuals, I mean, they go all out. They dress up in team colors. They paint their face. How many have ever done that? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. They paint their face. I mean, they go all out. They are true, and you hear this a lot. They are true fans. You know where the word fan comes from? It comes from the word fanatic. That's where you get the word fan. It's actually shortened from the word fanatic. And you say, well, they are true fans. And what you are saying is that they are true fanatics. And they truly are. I mean, they are passionate about their hockey team. They are passionate, Brother Jim. They're passionate about their football team. They're passionate about their basketball team. We were on camping at the KOA, and there was a young boy there. He was all decked out in Raptors fans. And I mean, he was a true fan. He was a fanatic. That's all he talked about was Raptors this and Raptors that. We went to one store, and it was called the Coca-Cola store. Everything in that store was Coca-Cola, and all the Coca-Cola fans, they all came and they all loved it. They were taking pictures. I mean, even the floor had Coca-Cola symbols there, and the stools had Coca-Cola. I walked up to the cashier, no lie. I walked up to the cashier and I said, "Hey, do you guys serve Pepsi?" She said, "No, you won't find it here." Because it's only Coca-Cola fans allowed. Only fanatics of Coca-Cola could come here. The reality is that it's okay to be a sports fanatic in our society. But even in Christian circles, don't dare be a fanatic for Jesus. Don't dare be a fanatic for church. What do you mean you go to church 3 times a week? What do you mean you go out and tell people about Jesus? What do you mean you read your Bible every day? The reality is, listen to me, the Apostle Paul, he was just a fan of the gospel. He was a fan of the gospel. He was a fanatic of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in order to be a fanatic of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you just have to be willing to pour out your life and to be used of the Lord. People say, "Well, are you willing to be a martyr for Jesus?" Listen, the Lord specifically doesn't want you to be a martyr for Him. He wants you to live for Him. And if you're willing to pour out your life and live for Him, then if God leads you to being a martyr, you'll be ready for it. But He just wants you to live for Him. Look at what the Bible says. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 6. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 6. This is another I am of Paul. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered. I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand." The expression there, "ready to be offered," the idea is to be poured out. That's the idea. I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to be poured out for the Lord Jesus. As the mighty man went to get David the water, and they returned to David because he had a longing for the water at Bethlehem, and he gave him that water. And the Bible says that David took that water and he poured it out unto the Lord. He says, "Is this not the life of those who sacrifice and were willing to die for me?" And he poured that water out unto the Lord. And that's what the Lord wants you to do today. He wants you to pour out your life to Him. He wants you to serve Him and to live for Him. And the reality is that you'll never be a fanatic. You'll never be a fan of the gospel. You'll never be a fan of Christ unless you're willing to pour out your life and you're willing to be able to say, "Not my will, but thine be done," and to serve the Lord with all of your heart. I am now ready to preach the gospel. Let me give you the third point and I'll be done. You see, the Apostle Paul, he was not only a debtor. "I am a debtor," he says, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, the non-Greeks. He says in this passage of Scripture, verse 15, "I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also." In verse number 16, it kind of wraps up Paul's life. He says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." Now, why would Paul be ashamed? Why would you be ashamed of the gospel? Why would I be ashamed of the gospel? Think about where Paul lived and think about the environment in which Paul surrounded himself. First of all, he faced great persecution for preaching the gospel. And Paul should know about persecution because it wasn't that long ago he was doing the persecuting. He was on the other side of the equation. And now he's the persecuted. And the Apostle Paul understood that there was great persecution for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the reality is that the gospel message was hated by his own people, the Jews. It's difficult to be a Christian the only Christian in your family. That's a hard thing to do. It's hard to take a stand when everyone else mocks the Bible and mocks creation and mocks God and mocks the things of the Lord. And yet the reality is Paul lived in that environment. Paul says, I'm not ashamed. His own kinsmen, his own people hated the gospel message, the Greeks, the educated of the day. The Greeks, the scientists, you know, the evolutionists, the ones who put themselves on a pedestal as the educator, the all-knowing or the knowledgeable, the scientists and the philosophers of that day, they called it all foolishness. To believe the gospel, you are foolish. To believe that Jesus died for you, that's foolish. That's foolish. And the Roman government rejected the teaching of Christianity. Why would he be even tempted to be ashamed of the gospel? The same reason why you would be tempted to be ashamed of the gospel. You get to a scenario in your life where the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and says, hey, you should tell them about Jesus. You should tell them about Christ dying for them. And you're like, well, I don't want to stir the waters, right? I want them to, have you ever heard this in your head? I want them to like me. I want them to like me. I don't want them to think I'm weird. I don't want them to think that I'm a fanatic, a fan. The reality is that Paul was in that very scenario, the same scenario as we are in today. Oftentimes, we like to take the Bible characters, we like to pull them out and put them in their own world and think that they had their own struggles and their own difficulties and that they cannot connect to where we are today. But the reality is they were not super Christians and they were not superheroes. They were just flesh and blood that trusted God, and they were in the same scenarios that we face every single day of our life. Yes, the reality is our world thinks it's foolish. And yes, there are people who hate the gospel. And yes, the government is pushing that the gospel be not preached, and it's taken out of the schools and it's taken out of educational systems. The reality is that we still cannot be ashamed of the gospel. And the Apostle Paul said, listen, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, why was Paul so confident? Let me give you some thoughts. Number one, because of his own experience. You know, I believe that all of us have a soul-winning tool, a witnessing tool for Jesus, that you have it and you might not even know. It's the best tool you have for telling someone about the Lord. And it's called your testimony. Your testimony. Testimony is just telling other people what happened in your life. You're testifying what Christ has done for you. I want us to turn to the book of Galatians in the first chapter, and I want us to think about Paul's testimony for just a moment. Galatians chapter 1, and he's writing to the Galatian believers and the church here at Galatia, and he's giving to them his testimony. And we all have a testimony. We might not have, obviously we don't have Paul's testimony, but we all have a testimony, how we have come to Christ and what Christ has done in our life and the confidence that we have in Jesus Christ. Verse number 10 of Galatians chapter 1, notice this testimony. He says here, verse number 10, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? If I yet please men, should not be the servant of Christ. For I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither receive it of man, neither was taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation. Now this is Paul's testimony. You've heard of my conversation, or the word conversation, an old English word. It means our lifestyle, the way we live our life. You've heard of my life, my lifestyle, my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many of mine equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers, But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. You know, I believe, and this is my own opinion, I believe one of the great soul winners in Paul's life was a man named Stephen. And when Saul or Paul, Saul of Tarsus, gave the orders to have Stephen executed, the reality is the way that Stephen died, looking up into heaven, and the peace that that man had in his heart when Jesus said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. I believe he was so convicted by that man's testimony that he could not shake it. And God revealed himself in that road, on that road of Damascus. And Paul accepted the message of Christ because of the lives, the testimony, the witness, and the message of Stephen. The reality is you never know the influence you're going to have on an individual's life. You go through troubles and trials in your life. Listen, you look to Jesus, and you never know who's looking around seeing how you respond in those difficulties in your life. And the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that the Lord Jesus revealed himself. Immediately, he says, I confer not with flesh and blood, but neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. But I went unto Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. And after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, abode with him 15 days. But none other the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brothers. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came to the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and on the unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only. Now notice this testimony, verse 23, that he which persecuted us in time past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorify God in me. That's a wonderful testimony to have. All of us have a wonderful testimony to tell someone about the Lord Jesus. And Paul knew what Christ had done in his life. Paul knew where he was and where he was now. You couldn't shake this from Paul. No, listen, he was a fanatic. He was a fan of the gospel. And you could not take this from his heart. The reality is he experienced the change of the changing power of the gospel in his life. And he believed, number two, he believed the word of God. He believed the word of God. In fact, he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. He says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, another I am. He says, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believe. By the way, when difficulties comes, it's not what you believe, it's who you believe in. And here the Apostle Paul says, listen, I know whom I believed. My faith is in the Lord. I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one that can save our soul, the Lord Jesus. And he was convinced that Christ had given him life eternal. And he believed the word of God. He believed the word of God. The Bible says this, that the salvation is given to all that call upon his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 11, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Hey, listen, we are living in a wicked world. We were at the campground last night in Niagara Falls. And it was about 2 a.m. I couldn't sleep. I was just thinking about things in my own life and meditating on scripture. And as I was laying in bed, I heard pow, 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 pow. Now, right before I went to bed, I was reading. Don't do this, by the way. I was reading about these two fugitives that are on the loose. And I jumped out of bed and I'm like, that sounded like gunshots. And I jumped to the bed and I ran over to the window and I opened up I looked out the window and it looked all nice and calm. And because it sounded like right around the corner, it was pretty scary. And I opened up the curtain, I looked outside, it looked really calm. And then it happened. I mean, I heard police, I heard sirens. I mean, it was just screeching. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know if we should crawl under the bed. I didn't know if I should crawl under the bed or wake up the kids in the morning. I didn't know what to do. And so I just decided, you know, I'll give it to the Lord. I went to sleep. I woke up in the morning. I read the news. And right across from Niagara Falls, where we were staying, there was a drive-by shooting. 2 a.m. in the morning, it listed it. And that was exactly the time. I remember looking at the clock. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. We live in a wicked world today. There was just a shooting in the States, in Texas. I think they said 20 dead. You know, it's a wicked world we live in. The answers to our world, listen to me, the answers to our world is not political agendas. It's not politics. The answer to our world is not who will be voted in as the Prime Minister of Canada in October. The answer to our world is not financial. It's not institutional. Listen, the answer to our world is Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can make this mess glorifying to him. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation. And friend, listen to me, if you're not saved.
You have been listening to Timeless Truths Radio Ministry with Pastor Jerry Burns, pastor of Kitchener Baptist Church. We hope that this message has encouraged you. Pastor Burns has served at Kitchener Baptist Church for more than 10 years. He is passionate about the Word of God and God's answers for today's problems. If Pastor Burns' ministry has helped you, he would love to hear your story. Connect with us online at timelesstruths.ca. You can help keep Timeless Truths Radio Ministry on the air by financially supporting this ministry. For more information on how you can partner with us, please visit our website at timelesstruths.ca or call us at 519-579-2236. Now, here is Pastor Burns with our Timeless Truth for today.
God has called us to be fanatics. God has called us to be fans of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are a part of the biggest and greatest program in all the world, and that is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. So we need to be a part. We need to get excited about what God has called us to do. And so whether, you know, you're preaching to friends or to family or to neighbors or whoever it is, we want the world to know that Jesus has saved us. He's washed our sins away and has given us a new life in Christ. This is our timeless truth today, to be a preacher of the gospel and to love the gospel message, to embrace the gospel message and to preach it wherever we go. God bless you.
You've been my life for so long, Lord, you were right when I was wrong. I can't repay all the love you've given me. You were my friend when no one cared. I was alone, but you were there. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I owe it all to you, Lord, and all I have is yours, Lord. Take my life, make it what you'd have it be. 'Cause I'm your child and you're my father. I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Borrowed treasures, borrowed dreams, all life's joys you've given me. When troubles come, you're always there to make me smile. Let come what may, thy will be done. I love you, Jesus, God's precious Son. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. that's ever happened to me. And I owe it all to you, Lord, and all I have is yours, Lord. Take my life, make it what you'd have it be, 'cause I'm your child and you're my father. I'm the clay and you're the potter, Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. I'm your child and you're my father. I'm just the clay, but you're the potter, Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me.
And weekends can make for strong beginnings, especially when you start each week with RE Recovery. They meet at Kitchener Baptist Church every Friday night at 7. Whatever you're struggling with, drugs, alcohol, pornography, tobacco, or any other behavioral problems like anger or depression, believe me, RE Recovery offers the help you need. Plus, you'll make some great new friends who understand what you're going through. And RE Recovery is open to people from all walks of life, any faith or no faith, anybody who is just seeking to find something that works. I'm telling you, if you live better, you'll feel better. So why not make this your weekend for strong beginnings with RE Recovery? RE Recovery meets at Kitchener Baptist Church, 1720 Glasgow Street, every Friday night at 7 p.m. For more information, go to RERecovery.org or call 226-336-7680. That is RERecovery.org, 226-336-7680.
Hey, it's Pastor Jerry Burns, and I just wanted to tell you that at Kitchener Baptist Church, we have a bus ministry that picks up boys and girls and moms and dads and brings them to church every single Sunday morning. We've been running this bus ministry for over 15 years, and God has provided financially so that we can offer this ministry for absolutely no cost. So I hope that you'll call us at 519-579-2236 and ask about our bus ministry today.